Hey folks, what's up and welcome to a new English episode of my podcast, Train Smart, Move Well. Well, today's guest in this episode is Christian Storgard, and he's a parkour athlete from Copenhagen, Denmark. I really hope that a lot of Danish folks are listening to this, some of my friends, some of Christian's friends and fellows from the parkour community. Hi, Lissam, they're super dialed. It's great you're here and listening to this. So what are we doing? Basically, Chris and I are giving a really deep dive into our cooperation via online coaching. So I was coaching Christian. I was writing his training programs that he was using to bring his strength training, to bring his mobility training, to bring his handstand practice onto the next level, while he was simultaneously still practicing his first priority training, which is parkour. So what we're doing is basically we're giving an insight as to who Christian is, what his background is, how his life currently is developing. We're talking about his sport background and how his situation was before him and I started working together, why he would choose online coaching as a medium, and what changed for him personally due to the online coaching process. So I really want to give you guys, our audience, our viewers and listeners, a good understanding of how an online coaching process could look like. And maybe there's also some of you who have never been in touch with this, who don't know what online coaching is. So this is really something that will give you a better understanding of what this whole process is about. And maybe if you guys on the other end are actually considering online coaching at this very moment, but you're really not really sure if this is for you, you're a bit in doubt, then this is also a podcast episode that I hope will bring you some clarity, will help you with the decision making, and I think this might be a good episode for you. So welcome to this episode, guys. My name is Philip Jacobs, I'm your host, and let's get started. Okay, man, are you ready for a quick Q&A?
Yeah.
Name.
Let's go. Christian
Occupation.
Stora. Student and parkour teacher.
Favorite meal.
Pasta.
Pasta. Okay. Wow. You are really a student. Okay. Favorite book or movie, Chris?
Favorite book. Probably Lord of the Rings.
That's a
favorite
good one.
Favorite movie. Maybe the new Spider-Man.
Okay. Last strength session.
Yesterday.
Favorite exercise.
Jumps.
Hate exercise.
Straddle ups, like sitting in a straddle.
Mm-hmm.
And going up to a standing straddle, and going back down.
That was part of our recent or the one before, right? The training program before. Nice. Christian, welcome to the podcast. Welcome to this little testimony video. Thank you for taking the time for being here. You already gave a few hints. You like jumps. You're a parkour athlete. But before I talk more about that, let's get you to talk about it. So who are you? What are you doing? And just give us a little insight as to how your life is currently.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on. It's pretty cool. I haven't listened to that many of your podcasts since they're all in German, but I've listened to the one I found was in English with the fencing.
Oh yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah. But anyway, my name is Christian and I live in Copenhagen. And I'm also from Copenhagen. Right now I'm studying my master's in human physiology, along with teaching a lot of parkour classes and being as active as I can in the Copenhagen parkour community. And that's pretty much what my life revolves around right now. It's a lot of training. I kind of been getting more and more into this parkour scene and into spending a lot more time with this. And and then hopefully I also have time to finish my master by next summer. So that's the goal.
That's pretty cool, man. So you studied what the Danish communities call, I think, idræt, right? So it's like sports sciences, what I would study here in Cologne during my bachelor's. Now you're doing your master's in human physiology, so you get to learn even more about how the human body works. And then on the other side, in terms of your actual physical practice, you do a lot of parkour, and you also do quite some strength training, which is why we started working together. Shall we get a little deeper into your sport background? Let's talk a little bit about parkour, what parkour is for you in the first place, and then we slowly move on to how your situation was before we started working together and how it actually then got to our cooperation.
Sure. Well, movement background wise, I actually started sports, or, you know, started movement fairly late. I was 9, which I consider to be a little bit of a letdown of my parents not forcing me into some kind of sport.
Because I didn't even know about that. Seriously, at 9?
Yeah.
That's funny. So what did you do before?
Before I just, I don't know, ran around, played with Legos.
Okay, PlayStation wasn't a thing back then, was it?
It was. It was PlayStation 1.
PlayStation 1.
Yeah.
Good old times, man.
Yeah.
Okay, so at 9 you started your movement journey, yeah?
Yeah, I started with jiu-jitsu, traditional Japanese jiu-jitsu. So with punching and throws and also grappling. And that was it for the next 6 years. So it didn't became like super competitive, but it was quite competitive, and it followed me through primary school, and then once I was off to boarding school in the final year, I stopped because, well, I was off to boarding school, and then I didn't pick it up afterwards. Mm-hmm. But then kind of my interest in sports was kicked off. I went to a sports, we have a thing called Efterskole in Denmark, which is kind of like the high school, but in 9th or 10th grade of primary school, then you can go, and then they have a whole lot of sports next to the normal classes. So I went to a gymnastics school, actually with the goal of just playing football, because I thought now is the time to get good at football. And after 6 months, I realized this is shit. I'm so bad. So I switched to gymnastics.
That's funny. Yeah.
Yeah. So gymnastics, and got a little bit of feel for flips and tricks and stuff, which got me into doing more tricking kind of training, which is, for those who don't know, tricking is kind of like, if you have parkour and then ditch all the obstacles, so you only do flips and flying kicks and twists and stuff, and a lot of different combos, that's tricking. So I did that through high school. I also went to high school here in Copenhagen. And then after high school, I went traveling first, and then I went straight to high school at Gallup Sports Academy, where I was introduced to parkour. Also parkour, annoyingly fairly late. For me, I was 19, mm-hmm. which is, it's okay, but it's still fairly late. So I started at Gallo, which was awesome, because then you had parkour almost every day. And then since that, I've been pretty hooked. So I haven't really given up on it since. That's been my primary focus, since then.
Got you. Thank you for the insight. So overall, you said in comparison, maybe fairly late start in terms of like actually practicing in a sport. Yeah, you started at 9 years. You've been diving into some martial arts. Then there was a big cut once you went to the Gallo Idrettsskole, where you tried soccer first, football first, and then realized, hey, this is not for me. I want to jump around and flip around and do crazy things in the air. That was when tricking hit, and then you slowly delve more and more into the parkour scene, which is pretty much what is the priority for you now at this point in time, isn't it?
Yep, that's pretty much it. And then obviously I enjoy a lot of other stuff as well, but like parkour is the main focus, and a lot of my strength training and mobility stuff revolves around, you know, parkour, as you know.
Yeah, it's things that you do in the weight room that should somehow supplement or just support you in your parkour practice per se, right? This is your reasoning for doing so. So let's maybe go right ahead into this area. So before you and I started working together, how was your strength training looking back then? What was maybe missing for you personally, and why would you then decide to look out for a coach that would help you? Because I think it's interesting, given your background and your context, since you did study Idrat, since you are studying human physiology, so it's not like you are a total novice to strength training per se, yet still you look out for somebody that's sparring with you and helping you with your programming. And I on my end have the same situation. I'm also a coach and I earn my money coaching people with strength training, yet I also have a coach and I have my reasons for it, but I don't want to put them out here before you give us yours. So let's see how you look at this. What's your perspective?
Yeah, it's a good question, because as you said earlier, my bachelor's is in Idrat, mm-hmm. or sports science, which is a lot cooler sounding. But so I have a lot of information about strength training. We have a lot of courses revolving around programming and like programming specifically for strength. And I did do strength training. I did experiment and lifted some weights and did et cetera, et cetera. But it was very unstructured. Mm-hmm. And obviously when it's just me, I don't really have any commitment to anybody but myself. And also, I mean, at the very start, when you try to make your own like training program, it's a very different process, right? Like when I started out making my first program, I was first year of my bachelor's. You sit down, you open a Word file, and you just go like day one, squats. Then you think a little bit, it's like, and then what? Maybe some more squats or something. So you kind of build it from exercise to upon exercise. And then at the very end, it's like, what? So all this achieves something, maybe. And what should that be? So like from the bottom up kind of perspective, mm-hmm. where I think what we did when we were working together was more of a from the top and down perspective, where we kind of focused on what are the goals first and then slowly broken down. So how do we get there? But yeah, I think the reason why I chose to kind of look into the online coaching thing was that even though you can be very talented at anything, basically, but as you see with every professional athlete in the world, pretty much they have some sort of coach, or maybe there's a few who doesn't have a coach but have some sort of advisor or mentor or guide or something. Simply because it's a super valuable tool to have another set of eyes looking at you and kind of giving another perspective, without necessarily going in and say, hey, do like this, do like this, do like this, but just advice, small corrections, stuff like that. So it was a combination of that I thought that that would be very useful, and also just a wish to be more consistent, because I've really come to think that consistency is kind of the key for improvement.
It freaking is, man.
Yeah,
for sure.
Sucks.
Yeah, but consistency is always key, and I preach it and preach it and preach it. That this is the number one rule of training, right? Number one rule is above all, be consistent. This is what my program director Daniel Clever wrote in his book, The Little Black Book of Training Wisdom, and it just holds true. Number one rule above all, be consistent. And number two rule is avoid things that might negatively affect your consistency. It's that simple. If you live up to these two small things, you do a whole lot of thing in the right way. And then you can worry about all the finer details in terms of choosing exercises and when to progress with intensity and volume and yada, yada, yada. But anyways, thank you for this brief insight. There's a few things that resonated with me. I found it funny how you described the first time you wrote your own training program, and I could really relate to it. For me, it was just a piece of paper, though. And I sometimes, when I'm at my parents' place and when I'm down in the basement where I started strength training at the age of, I don't know, 15 or 16 or so, I sometimes even find little notes of weird exercise selections of the own training programs. I wrote them myself and I was like, what the fuck was I thinking?
Yeah, yeah.
But hey, I did it. But it's interesting, just like you said, I feel in the beginning, we oftentimes wonder too much about exercises and think, hey, should I do a squat or a deadlift or should I do both and blah, blah, blah. Whereas this is really what should not lead the discussion or what should not lead our programming. It's the more the top-down approach that you mentioned earlier, where you first sit down, you have an honest talk, you have an open talk and say, hey, what is actually your goal? Where do you want to go at? What's your resources, both in terms of facilities, you know, gym access, but also time? How much time do you want to invest? And then in a sparring, we try and find a matching scenario that you think is doable and is also realistic, not only to do for a couple of weeks, but for months and years to come. Cool. So overall, you said before we started working together, it's not like you needed an extra push of motivation or so. You were moving a lot, you were training a lot, yet you still found that this accountability, you know, of having somebody having eyes on what you're doing is still a factor that's helping you to stay consistent over a longer period of time. And then overall, this set of eyes that's just looking over everything you do and pointing you in certain directions whenever is needed without having you, you know, holding you by the hand at all times, because that's something I don't see you really need. It's more like the pinpointy parts and sometimes looking you, hey, here's a way A and here's an option B that would lead to those and those consequences. What would you like to do?
I think that's yeah, that's a good summary. And I just add one thing, like also, I think when I started, you know, experimenting with all this, not only like did I focus a lot of the exercises, but kind of a effect of that was having a hard time not having stuff in the program. Does that make sense? Like when I tried to pick the exercise, I was like, shit, I'm missing 4, 5, 6, like, areas or 4, 5, 6 kinds of exercises or stuff like that that I would just not do.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would do squats or something, and then I would do that. But then maybe I wouldn't do any unilateral leg work, and I'd be shit. Oh, I need to add that. So like my programs would just be like huge, like way too big.
It's a solid 2.5 hour session,
yeah, mate. And then I'll do it once, and then it was like, no, I need to do something else. I'll try the program again.
Yeah, okay, but this is, sorry, yeah, finish your sentence.
Yeah, so I was just saying, like, also the, well, how do you say it? That the other person, the coach, can kind of say, well, it's okay to neglect something for a while and then come back to it. And then you can spend some time on that, switch up the exercises. But really this, with picking something that works and then trying to be consistent with that for any given amount of time and then or duration of time, and then you can always switch it up, that it's okay to not train everything all the time. I think that was a really important thing for me to learn, at least.
Exactly. Thank you for bringing this up, like this element of a coach or an external person, like adding simplicity to the process and helping you also to rule out certain things where you maybe originally felt like, hey, I need to do A, B, C, D, E, because I've been doing that since ever. But then when somebody's telling you, hey, prioritization is now doing this and that, and therefore we have to neglect the other, we'll come back to it in a couple of months from now. That can also be a huge thing, right? And again, I can resonate it. Sometimes it's also a stressor for you when you have a certain, say, ambition, or you have a certain standard that you want to live up to, and then you feel like that standard is connected to doing an exercise or doing a workout in a certain way, and then all of a sudden you're not doing it, then I think it can be tricky mentally sometimes. Yeah. I don't know if you can resonate with that.
Definitely resonate with that. It can be really tricky.
Yeah.
Also just having sometimes to neglect or switch out your favorite exercises where you feel very strong, and then adding in something where it's like, shit,
it's a tough one. Maybe for you that was going ass to grass down in the squats in the previous circle.
No, the hack was
the hex squat. That was also a good one. Leaning back. Okay. You already said this was one big learning for you. What else changed for you due to the online coaching?
Yeah. Do you want to quickly maybe just explain how we worked together, or should I just, are we going to go back to that?
I think that's a good call. Maybe you give us a brief insight as to how it worked.
Yeah.
Let's give our listeners on the podcast and the viewers on YouTube a brief overview. So just shoot.
So obviously, since we live in two different countries, you weren't present at every session. So the way we did this collaboration or this online coaching was that we would first of all we would talk a lot about what do I want to achieve, what was the goal, what was the point of the training, and obviously how much time did I have to train and how much time did I want to train, how did my schedule look. And once we've gotten all those things out of the way, we would do some testing, see where was that, both strength but also power, some skill stuff with the handstands.
Yeah.
And after testing, you would go into the lab, you would start programming, and then once you had a little bit of that, two reps of this, and then we would talk it over, and if everything was great, we would start working. For me, it was a lot of strength training and some skill stuff with handstands and some mobility. And then there was some of the key movements, the big lifts, stuff like that, I would videotape, usually the last set that I would do. And then I would videotape anything that I might need some extra guidance. If there was a tricky exercise that I needed feedback on or stuff like that, I would also videotape that.
Yeah, so let's just quickly stress this point, because it might not be obvious to people that are not used to this online coaching thing. Because people, if you are imagining now, it's Chris and me doing every session one-on-one live. This is not what we're talking about. When he says he videotaped the exercises, he just had his phone as he was doing a back squat. He filmed his reps, he saved them all on his device, and at the end of the week, he just put them all together into one YouTube click, sent me the clip, and at the end of the week or beginning of the next week, I would look into it and then provide him with the feedback of the exercise, just to give a bit more the context for our listeners and viewers. Continue, Chris.
Yeah, exactly. So it wasn't like a feedback on each video. It was like a collected feedback each week. And I would try to include that feedback and try to improve. And so we ended up doing, one one cycle some years ago where I got injured like at week four, but then we stopped, and then Corona happened and everything, and all the gyms were closed. But then we did three cycles back to back over the winter and fall, and one cycle is in this case 6 weeks, just to give a heads up. So each cycle would end with kind of the evaluation, how did it go. We would retest, like see improvements, see where we didn't improve, and then a new program. You would create a new program after talking with me about what did I like, what did I dislike, and we would often switch out some exercises just to keep it more interesting. The warm up stuff would change. So yeah, that's how the online coaching worked. And obviously, if I had some sort of acute questions or stuff, I would just write you. It wasn't limited to only once a week. And just so I don't stray too much, of course, you asked me like further, what were my learnings from the online coaching, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think this would be nice to talk now, since we've given a broad overview of, okay, this is how we started. We had a quick call and talked about the expectations and your goals. Then we figured out, okay, this is the amount of time that you can spend in a week training with me besides your parkour practice. I did the program, and then, I mean, basically the six week cycles repeated again and again and again. And we sometimes made little adjustments when the goals maybe shifted a little bit, and also for the sake of just bringing something new to the table to make it exciting. So yeah, now let's talk about your learnings, like what changed for you as part of this process.
Yep. Well, we already touched a bit on the consistency. I think that was really cool. I haven't tried to be that consistent with the same exercises for that duration of time before, which was that was a really good experience, like really experiencing to getting better and then stagnating and then getting better again. So how that whole thing works, and testing and retesting after each cycle. I think that can be a really, really good like motivation booster and also a wake-up call if you like kind of have been neglecting, maybe one of the exercises maybe haven't been going as heavy as you could have gone, then that's also going to be kind of a slap in the face if you haven't improved. Obviously there can be other factors there. It doesn't need to be that you've been lazy.
Could also be that you did too much, like both ends is possible. It really depends on the situation.
Definitely. I think also I learned that it wasn't necessarily the important thing wasn't necessarily for me to go all out in every single workout, but it was very important for me to kind of just to go there and do the workout. And then if I was feeling super tired, I could use a little lighter intensity or a little less low or something like that. But the important thing for me was just to go there and to complete the workout. I feel like I got a lot of information about how to structure training, what kind of structure you could use. And that was a really, really good motivator for me, and like a lot of inspiration to how to set up the exercises. What would you combine? What wouldn't you combine? Because it wasn't just, you know, as I did, like, okay, this is a good exercise, this is also a good exercise. But there was actually some thought behind the choices, behind the timing, like which one's first, all this. So I think it was a lot of inspiration about how you could possibly do these things, and and yeah, a lot of knowledge I think about myself, about when was I motivated, when wasn't I motivated. So I think it was a very big learning process, mostly about myself, and then also about strength programming in general.
Yeah, and the science behind it. But let's dive into this. You said when I was motivated and when I was not motivated. Can you put some more words into that? Because you also said it was a big learning process, mostly about myself.
All right. Yeah, sure. So I think obviously when you're training alone with an online coach, it's just me going to a workout. So I wouldn't have teammates, and I wouldn't have a group of people that would train the same things as I would. Mm-hmm. So even though I had someone else to be responsible for or responsible to, which was you, I wouldn't have anyone to say, okay, let's go train. Obviously I could train with people. I did often, but there wasn't anyone to who did the same program as me that could say, okay, we're gonna go heavy on the last set as well.
This is very interesting. Continue talking. I have some things there too. Yeah,
even though you were working out like with some friends, and I would be training with people, they would probably not be doing the same exact program, which that would be weird. So if I felt tired and didn't want to do the last set, there wasn't anyone to kind of like say, yeah, we're going to do that. Obviously let's do it. And then, so I think some of the lack of motivation is obviously because it's a one-on-one thing. And then on top of that, a one-on-one alone at a distance. then again, on the other hand, I would say that it's a very, very useful tool for me to be able to have a personal coach and train whenever it suits me. So if you had to be there at every workout, and that would obviously be nice for motivation in the specific workout, but it would also limit the flexibility of when we could train, because obviously we would need to have free time, both of us. You would need to have, it would be work time for you, but it would still be needed to fit into both our schedules. So the flexibility would be much less, which sometimes I found can also be nice. It can be easier if the workout is kind of set for a specific time, a specific day, because then it's like, okay, fair enough, I don't plan on that to do anything else there. That's when I'm gonna go do my strength. Usually that was also what I would do. I would have my strength on Tuesdays and Fridays, and then I would have my mobilities on Wednesdays and Saturday or Sunday, whichever was free. So I think it can go both ways. There's definitely like pros and cons. I think that like where I struggled the most with motivation was probably in the mobility handstand stuff, because that it progressed throughout the cycle. Obviously, like you could do more reps and more seconds in the handstands and stuff like that, but it's a less visible kind of progression than in the weight room, because in the weight room it's always, that's the sexy thing about strength training, right? You can very easily see progression.
Like, yeah, okay, you put up another weight plate on that barbell and you know, exactly, this is a little heavier than last week.
Yeah, and we all know that, well, all of us that do weighted strength training knows that it's super fun to put more weight on and be able to lift it.
Oh, show, mate.
So that was a little easier because you could always like, you could look forward to like, okay, next week I'm going to lift X more than this week. That's going to be fucking awesome. And that was not as visible in the skill and mobility sessions. So I think that was a little harder towards the end of the cycle to keep up motivation. But then again, it was also more flexible because you didn't need a strength room to perform the workouts. You could do it in the living room or outside or something. So that was obviously a good thing. Yeah. Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, it's, I think you nicely explained and gave insight into your thought process in terms of both the pros and cons of this whole online coaching cooperation. It gives you a lot of freedom and flexibility because you do have your program and you try and set certain days. If you stick to those days, it's up to you, or if you change it, and you can also change the hours, right? And especially for you still being a student, having a little more of an open schedule and being free in your choices and how you spend your time training, that I think that's pretty nice to have. And this is a freedom that many people, they don't even come to the table with that choice. So in that sense, I think it's quite valuable to be able to do that. Yet on the other hand, just like you pointed out, you are also sometimes in a situation where a little bit of a lone wolf. If you have a training partner that you also meet in the gym, yes, you can meet in the gym and you can train next to each other, but he might be doing a different program. And I know exactly what you mean. It's sometimes tough to grind through when you're just by yourself. And then it's just about figuring out, is this the thing that you still feel like want to be doing, or if you're more the community type of person that gets more out of a session or of a workout when there's many more people around it, or if you're more on the other hand and you say, hey, my priority is definitely that I want to go to the gym whenever I want to go to the gym. I don't want to I don't want to be put in a position where I have to have a schedule according to somebody else's time and so on and so forth. So I can definitely understand what you're saying. For me personally, I really like to do my strength sessions whenever I want to. And then it's okay with me that I'm most of the time just by myself. And I also learn by myself how to grind through it, especially when it's tough and when it's the last set. And then on top of that, it helps me to have that coach, to have my own coach that writes down, you're doing five sets of this exercise with this weight and this many reps and so on and so forth, because then it's definitely more likely I will actually follow through because I'm just doing it. If I was doing it just by myself, I might just skip the last set or skip another rep or so. So that's definitely what I can say. And then I still have this need for community stuff, but that's what I also at this moment find in parkour. And in half a year, I might find doing something else. So
I need the best.
yeah, probably. Actually, it's a high chance I might stick with it for a little longer. But yeah, that's how I find my compromise. I have my strength sessions by myself, and I learn a lot about myself too, and how to grind through just being alone by myself, and while simultaneously enjoying the freedom of doing it whenever I want to. And then I find my scenarios and my context with more of a community vibe where I have the time to move with other people when practicing parkour or whatever it is. So that's really nice, I think. Cool. Were you ever in doubt whether online coaching is the right thing for you before you started it?
Well, yes. I think that was the reason I didn't start before, probably. I think there's a lot of there's a lot of online coaches and there's a lot of personal coaches out there now. And I think it's my opinion that a lot of them are not to be mean or anything, but it's my understanding that a lot of them are mediocre at best. And then at the start, I didn't really see what was it actually going to give me, because I know how to do exercises. I know how to how to train. So. Then again, I think the idea kind of came to me mainly because of you, because I saw the stuff you were doing, the stuff that you were talking about. I clicked around a little bit on your website, obviously, to people who don't who don't know me and Philip, we know each other. Yeah, you and me, we've known each other before through parkour and through movement in general, trained together. So I know and have discussed your approach to training and approach to strength training, which was really important for me, because I didn't want to work on an online basis with somebody that I didn't know and also who didn't have an insight into my sport. If I was working with a personal coach who didn't have an understanding for parkour and for what movements parkour involves, I saw it as a little bit of a problem, because how could you then program towards this? So that was obviously a big plus, because you have an understanding of the movements and the impact you take when you do big jumps and stuff like that. So I think that was some of the important points that kind of made me contact you in the first place about the coaching. If I had to sum it up, it would be like somebody who knows and have experience with my own kind of discipline, somebody that I have not necessarily maybe it's not that important that I know the person, but that I know about their approach, that I know about their passion and commitment towards training, that I know that they're involved with training themselves, that they kind of have a good foundation for building or for providing me with some value. Yeah, and then obviously the last important factor of the decision was that I saw that I could really use it and that I could get a lot of value from having a coach.
Yeah, thank you for sharing this. So what I also find really important is that it was that it was an important thing for you to have somebody that is understanding what you are doing with parkour, that has an insight, has maybe skin in the game, so has felt it themselves and just is aware what it is doing, like the demands of that practice, the jumpiness and the running and so on and so forth, in order to be able to tailor a program that is actually to your needs and helping you in that practice. Very interesting. And then obviously there's also always, when it is a coaching environment, this I mean the chemistry got to be right. I think there's so many good coaches out there, but some of them wouldn't, or in other ways some people don't contact a certain coach but another, yet both are have the same skill set or so, but personalities differ. And just like in social life, when you have a beer with somebody at the bar, there's one person you're more inclined to talk to, and then there's the other one which you find is he's okay, but I don't need to go talk to him right now. And this is what coaching is also about, right? So I think that the chemistry gotta be matching. You gotta have a little bit of you just gotta trust the other person in front of you, and this goes both ways, not only from coachee to coach but also from coach to coachee, and then this is a good place to start, and then you can see where you're going. Perfect. Last question before we wrap it all up, Chris. What would you tell somebody that is currently struggling with this decision and doesn't really know whether online coaching is a thing for them or not? Is there anything that, based on the experiences you've made in the past, that you could advise that person?
So this would be a scenario where the person is involved with some kind of training and is considering to approach an online coach.
But I think it can, we can take this scenario, but that person might be doing some training or some sport, but it might also be a person that is maybe currently not doing anything at all, but is wishing to actually start again training after having paused for, I don't know, a year or two, maybe even 5 years because of work commitments, because of a busy lifestyle professionally and privately, or because of an injury or whatsoever. Yep. So that can also be the scenario. Like anybody that is now wishing to either take their training to the next level and wondering, can I achieve that with online coaching? Or it could also be somebody that is maybe now at a point where they realize, I haven't been really moving training the way that I think I could, and I know I should be doing something. So where can I start? So I think both scenarios are valid.
I think I would give different advice to those different scenarios. Let's start with like the first one, where it's a person who maybe realizes that they need a little more movement and training in their lives. Mm-hmm. I think it really depends on what's the driving factor behind your wish to move more. Because if it's kind of, I want to move more, but I also want the community kind of thing, I probably wouldn't recommend online coaching, because you don't get that sense of community necessarily.
Yep.
I would probably recommend something like a team sport or some sort of movement or sporting like club or community.
Yeah, which is signing up to the local gym with your best friend.
Yeah, exactly, right? Then again, if it's a person who has some specific goals that like very not necessarily like broad, I want to meet people and I want to move and play and have fun, but more specific goals, I think that the online coaching can be a great tool, like obviously for a program, but also just to have a coach to keep them motivated, which I think it's a very important thing. I think it varies from person to person how much self-motivation is there and how much is needed when you're are dealing with an online coach instead of a coach who can physically stand there and say, hey, do this, do this.
Dealing with an online coach. That's a nice way to put it.
No. Like, you know what I mean. But if it was a person who maybe is likely to not show up because it's tough and it's, you haven't been training for a long time, it's hard, you don't want to, it's a pain in the ass, then it's easier to not show up if there's nobody waiting for you physically. Where if it's a physical coach who's waiting for you, you might feel more responsible and have a higher likelihood of showing up. On the other hand, if it's a person who is already fairly motivated, I think it's a really useful tool. So to wrap it up, if I would advise the person to definitely look into the options, I would advise them to not pick the first and the first one that kind of pops up when you Google online coach, but ask around. Look around at all the coaches that you heard of, websites, maybe have a free consultation. You can have that with a lot of people. Just talk, hear what they have to say.
Yeah, and get a feeling of who it is.
Exactly, and be mindful that you don't have to choose the first one that comes up. And also, I think an important advice, it would be that you don't have to think of it as a lifetime commitment. You can also think of it as I need to get back into training. I have been lazy for a while, haven't been moving for a while. I need to get back into it. It can also just be a 6-week cycle with, now we do this. We kind of get you back into the feel of things, get you introduced to some good exercises, get you some motivation, some foundation strength, and then you can take it maybe from there on your own. It doesn't have to be a year-long commitment. So the other scenario, which was a person who wants to take the strength to the next level and is not already dealing with a coach in their specific discipline. They could be, but let's say it could be a football player who obviously has a football coach, but then next to that, which is to supplement the strength training with online coaching. I think that's a really, really, really good tool. I would always recommend that. Obviously, you have to consider, do you have the time? Do you have the money? All this. If you don't, then maybe prioritize it differently. But if that's not an issue, if that's not a factor that kind of influences your decision, then again, I would advise to do some research, talk to some people, talk to the coaches, and then be mindful that it's not a super long commitment, that you can always kind of say, I want to do 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 8 weeks, and then we'll see. I think that's I would likely recommend it to the majority of people, and the only person I wouldn't recommend it to was, as I said, the person who wants to move but is more interested in the social aspects.
I think that's a very good and important differentiation, because online coaching can be a great tool for some, while for others it's not going to be helping at all. And that, I would say, is exactly these people that are just looking for the social aspects of movement and training, which is totally fine and acceptable. And it is a great thing, because this is an amazing platform. So then maybe online coaching is not the right thing. Also, if you maybe have a tendency not to be doing so well with technology. I mean, what we're doing here is not crazy, but we are using certain tools in order to cooperate as good as we can online. But that can be solved, I think. But these two types are probably not suited as well for this online coaching process, this cooperation. Whereas on the other side, just like you said, if there is a person having a nagging injury, maybe having gone through physio already, but now being able to move pain-free in their daily life, but wanting to also achieve pain freedom doing the sport. I think that can be a great context. And anybody that is doing a certain discipline, which can be parkour, it can be football, basketball, whatsoever, and they have their coach there, just like you said, in the team sport. But they also know that they want to be doing a bit more structured strength training to really achieve their goals next to their sport, then I think that can also be a good context to consider this type of scenario.
Yeah,
cool, man. Chris, we've gone through all the questions that I wanted to ask. Thank you so much for taking the time out and giving us also an insight into your personal journey as part of this online coaching process. To anybody listening or watching, I'd highly recommend you check out Chris on Instagram. He has a growing account and he's doing some crazy stuff. So he's a gifted young mover. Check him out.
Thank you.
Chris, is there any last words? I'm gonna tag your Instagram account in the show notes of the podcast and also in the description on YouTube, so you guys can click on that. Is there anything that you want to share? Anything? Any last words that you wish to share with our audience?
Yeah, I think it's been fun. It's been nice talking about this, reflecting a little more. Obviously, I would recommend Philip Dick coaching to all the listeners, because you really are very, very knowledgeable about the training and also very knowledgeable about how to, in my opinion, how to kind of run this online coaching operation and make your clients feel fairly, how do you say it? What's the word? Feel like they're a part of creating this this program, feel like they are a part of the process.
So they're engaged in it. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Engaged. So otherwise, I don't think I have anything. If any of the listeners are based in Copenhagen and want to do parkour, let me know. That would be great. Otherwise, thanks you for having me on. It was great fun.
Awesome, man. Thank you for being here, and we'll see each other at the Gerlu for the parkour gathering next time, if not before. Looking forward to that, mate.
Likewise.
Chris, thank you. And to all our listeners, thank you for watching or for listening all the way through. Looking forward to welcoming you in the next podcast episode of Train Smart, Move Well, which is coming up in 14 days from now. Until then, train smart and move well. Bye-bye.